Radio Tausch, which will include some Q&As for the Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Thomas. Hall of Fame beef. Got the bagels.
Oh, the teriyaki's good, too, from the beef sticks, just so everybody is aware.
Yeah, teriyaki at Cook's, as the kids say these days.
Jalapeno favorite cheddar's up next.
Yeah, that's my favorite. The apple, whatever that one is.
Apple cheddar.
Apple cheddar, that's the kids' favorite. They get home from school immediately. Dad, can we get some of them Hall of Fame beef apple cheddar sticks? The answer is always yes, children, because I'm a wonderful father, and I'm a servant for your belly's needs.
It's amazing that they would go through the trouble of describing it as some of those Hall of Fame beef apple and cheddar sticks, that they wouldn't just say, Dad, I want some beef sticks.
No.
So they understand. They know how to brand things.
Yeah, they've grown up in a family of people that are marketing and branding as our living. And they know how to frame and phrase things to build the brand, okay? For the brand.
You're sitting in your gold jacket in your recliner, and they all come and stand in line. Excuse me, Father, I please have?
Yes. I didn't have a chance to do it yet, but my second oldest daughter, Cameron, is 10, and she thinks she's going to be an actress, which she might be, right? She is our most emotional by far. And so after school yesterday, we were just, shooting the breeze. I like just hanging out with them after they get home from school and messing with them. And they were asking for beef sticks, and she's like, Dad, can we make an Instagram reel of how much we love these sticks? And she wanted to write a script. So she thought she was going to have a Hollywood movie, and I was just filming her on my phone. But I was like, I'll cut it up for you. I'll put it on there. Don't worry. So I'm excited to do that when I get home this afternoon and make my daughter proud, even though it's not going to be the best. But that'll be funny. Hopefully people check it out. Six Springs Farms is the Instagram handle.
So we had Brian Bulaga earlier this week, and he was in the midst of Abby being gone for a few days. And so he was running the show. Now, we know, much like Kevin Durant once said of his mom, you the real MVP, we know that Annie is the real MVP in your house. Have there been any recent instances of you being on your own and she took off with her girlfriends or anything where you had to run the show? And if so, how did that go?
So Annie's very lucky because I love being at home with just the kids, because then who's the boss? Jesse's not the boss anymore. Yeah, Jesse's not the boss in my house when Annie's gone. So when Annie's gone, Annie's what I would say is a control enthusiast, maybe. Not freak, but an enthusiast. So when we're all home, Dad gets a lot of orders about what he's supposed to do with the kids. And my parenting style is a bit different at times. So when I'm in charge, it's like, I'm the captain of the ship now. And it is so much fun. I don't abuse it too much, but we like to have some fun with it. And so she was in Bahamas with her girlfriends a couple weeks ago, and she went out to Montana to visit her sister. And I handle the main things and the most important things, but I do enjoy that time with the kids, because no more getting bossed around by Jesse Nelson.
The control enthusiast line, Tausch being a racket sport enthusiast, yeah, is pretty darn good. All right, we want to make sure we have enough time for questions from fans, because we did such a bad job of managing that earlier in the week. So my only question for you before we move forward is this, about the UW and the Varsity Collective and NIL and the transfer portal, football and basketball. Look, was the old system of guys getting paid under the table like the movie Blue Chips ideal? No, of course not. But now it still doesn't feel like it's up in the above board, because we have no idea what each player is getting. We don't know what pool there is for money for all these different schools. There is no salary cap like the NFL. So having been in this world, not as a recipient, but as someone trying to help his proud university, where do you see this headed? And where do you see Wisconsin in the grand scheme of this? Because it just frustrates me beyond belief that there are no real guardrails or rules that are being required of every school to follow.
Well, I think where it's headed is you're going to need some type of congressional action where they're changing the laws and changing the structure to be able to make college sports, specifically the revenue sports, look a lot more like professional sports, where somehow the players can become employees of the university, or maybe there's a separate LLC where they're now employees of the Wisconsin Badgers LLC football program or whatever, and now they can be employees and they can be paid, and then now you can track how they're paid, and then they all these schools in the NCAA can get an antitrust exemption, which is what pro sports teams need to get to be able to collectively bargain contracts and have salary caps and have restrictions that legally you can't have with employees. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the only way that they're going to be able to save college sports in the long run. And it seems like there's enough people in Congress that see the problem that are trying to figure out what they need to do that it's not going to be a partisan issue because, I mean, who doesn't want to save college sports, right? Like, we want to see this fair, equitable, transparent, where the players are being rewarded and valued for their work and their income that they're creating for their university, for their programs. But there has to be more transparency. There needs to be some type of salary restrictions and parity, fairness across the board, like you see in pro sports, whether that be revenue sharing between the teams, whether that be a salary cap, salary floor. I don't know exactly what that'll look like. That's up to the lawyers and the smarter people than me to figure out. But the path that they have right now is not sustainable. And I think the story that tells everything you need to know about where college sports is right now is if you look at Ohio State, like, everyone on the outside would think that that program is doing as well as they possibly could, right? Mm-hmm. They just won the national championship. They got all these great recruits, all this prestige. I mean, they did the things. They did what you want to do. You want to win the national championship. You know what? They lost money last year because everybody is chasing these players out there, these 18-year-old kids, these 19-year-old kids with NIL and in the transfer portal, and nobody knows what the value of these players are. Nobody knows where to come in with contracts. Nobody knows what everybody else is getting paid. You see teams, I was talking to Fickle over Halloween, and he's like, we're afraid to put our freshmen that we really like on the field on special teams because Ohio State, Michigan, some of these teams with deep pockets see him run down fast on kickoff and then just go steal them from us before we've had a chance to develop them and then turn them into good players that are going to be starters on offense and defense. And so, like, you can't have that long-term to have a successful and healthy program of sport, football, basketball, hockey, whatever it is. And so there needs to be some guardrails. We need to figure that side of it out. And I think it's going to have to come from congressional action to change laws to be able to make the players employees and allow the same restrictions as we see in pro sports.
And you can't have even your national championship football program ending up in the red because that is also what finances all the other sports that don't bring in that revenue. And that's the only other question. You know, I've brought this up a few times, and I like Mac a lot. I don't understand how on earth a powerhouse program like Wisconsin could demolish an indoor training facility for its track and field teams without a sufficient replacement for them existing. And so the fact that Tara Clack's family had to basically convert a warehouse that her dad had in Lodi to give them somewhere to practice is ridiculous. That said, I'm also concerned that all of those non-revenue sports, which, oh, by the way, women's basketball is one of them, and your wife played basketball at Wisconsin, so it's not just about the big three of men's basketball, football, and men's hockey. It's all these sports. Are you hopeful that not only can we get this piece, because it's not just this piece, it's also how do we make sure that the pieces that are doling out NIL money are making enough money to keep the other ones afloat? I had seen a report that there are talks of just reducing it to 16 sports at every school because of this. You think the people that are still mad that there's no baseball at Wisconsin are going to be happy about that? No. I mean, does that concern you as well as someone who cares about the university and whose wife played a sport that does not necessarily generate revenue?
My wife played basketball at Wisconsin. I was on the track team. I won't say track athlete because I was a thrower, shot and disc, for 2 years, and I love my time, right? And lots of friends still very close to the Clack family, and a lot of the people that have brought up the issues on the Wisconsin track side of things. And I think when you look at, all right, what has always made college sports very special? It wasn't the fact that they weren't getting paid. Like, people want to point to that, but to me, the magic of college sports is you've got these kids that are 18, 19, 20 years old. They're leaving home for the very first time. They're coming together as a team to try to find a common goal to win a championship in whatever they're doing. And they're doing it with a backdrop of mingling and mixing and becoming part of a greater beauty of an athletic program within that university that is special and beholden to all the alumni and all the students that have pride in not just the teams that make money. It's the track program, the women's basketball program, the hockey program, the tennis, the golf, the women's soccer, the women's hockey. Like, the beauty of college sports is that you have all these sports and they add value, even though they're not selling tickets and they're not making a bunch of money in TV. They're adding a ton of value to college athletics as a whole, to the experience for college students, to the experience for college student athletes, to the experience for the people that are playing football and get to go to the Fetzer Center and get to go make friends with the guys on the hockey team and the girls on the volleyball team. And they get to share in the experience of being a college athlete, where you're leaving home for the very first time, experiencing all the hardships of showing up and trying to make grades and going and studying together at the Van Heist building and then going to practice and then traveling and trying to maintain and balance the social life with the athletic life and the academic life. Like, the beauty of navigating that as a kid for the very first time is what makes college sports special and what makes fans reflect back on their time as students or as athletes when they were in college and think about it so romantically. And that's part of the reason why we love watching these kids, because we know what they're going through, right? And so I think when you look at it from a, okay, all these sports add value, even though they don't all directly produce and provide dollars and cents to the program, how do we find a way to maintain all of that while still making it fair and rewarding the players, the athletes that are making a lot of money for the football, the basketball, all those revenue sports? And I think it comes back to what I was just saying about you need some type of congressional action to allow the NCAA to monitor the players and what they're getting paid, like their employees, and to put some type of restrictions and salary cap and figure out, okay, how much is the money that we are making with our TV revenue and our ticket sales and our merchandise throughout, let's just say, the Big Ten? What is that dollar number? All right, how much do we need to be able to continue to fund at a reasonable level all of our non-revenue sports? So let's cut that out. And then now let's figure out how much is reasonable to have administrative costs and the coach costs and equipment and building upgrades. Okay, where's that number? And then that's your salary cap. Everything underneath that is what you're allowed to spend on your players. And I think the genius of the NFL and the reason, outside of football being a great sport, the reason that it's our most successful professional sport by far is because they did get together, the genius owners of the NFL 50 years ago or whatever, and decide, hey, we're all better if every team at the beginning of the season thinks that they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So we need to give some ability for Green Bay and Cleveland and Detroit to compete with New York and LA. How are we going to do that? We're going to share in the revenue. We've got enough money to go around for everybody. As long as we're all not greedy and we realize that we're all going to win together and we can grow this pot big enough where individually we'll all be better as a collective than we could be if we all went out on our own and it was just every man for himself. And so I think once college sports realize that and they find a way to thread that needle to get their programs like the NCAA looking like college or the NFL, basketball, baseball, then you'll have an opportunity to save all those non-revenue sports to get back to a model that looked like what we did have while still allowing you to reward the college athletes that are putting their bodies on the line and are creating a ton of money for their programs and their coaches and the administrators. But there's a way to do it fairly. It needs to be with some type of salary caps, some type of transparency, figuring out how much everybody's making, and then just splitting the pie up appropriately.
And they can dial back how much they're paying players, because you know as well as I do that as a top 10 pick in 2007, you got a much larger contract than a top 10 pick gets after the new collective bargaining agreement came along in 11. And they said, we've got to get control of our rookie salaries, and we can't be paying unproven guys $50 million as the top pick because they're a quarterback. Sometimes it works out and Matthew Stafford ends up being really good. Sometimes it's Jamarcus Russell and it's not such a good investment. So they did that in their league. You can certainly do that with NIL and how that money is dispersed.
You find out what is the revenue we're all making, Then the market gets set. It sets itself, right? Then you find out what is fair to pay your quarterback. But until you know what is the money that everybody has out here that we're all making together, like how would you know how much to pay a quarterback?
Right?
Nobody knows. Like you have no idea. Is it 5 million? Is it 10 million? Is it 500,000? Like, and then it just becomes you're all tearing each other down, trying to compete for the same guys, and then you get an Ohio State situation. They got what they want, a national championship, but they had to lose money to do it, which doesn't seem like this is sustainable in the long run also.
No, not at all. All right, we'll get to your questions for Joe. Jesse's been curating those. Want to remind you that spring is here, clearly, finally, and it's time to refresh your home. And during Steinhoffel's Get Ready for Spring sale, you'll find all the latest looks and trends to transform your space. And if you need design help, Steinhoffel's design packages are on sale, and their designers are by your side every step of the way. Plus, if you buy a premium mattress, you'll get free premier delivery on everything as well. So they get ready for spring sale only at Steinhoffel's and steinhoffels.com. Our questions for Joe Thomas are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Joe Thomas as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. These better be good questions, Jesse. For Joe, since you're the boss, I turn it over to you.
I mean, if they're not good questions, they're on the people asking them, I suppose, right?
Nobody takes responsibility like Jesse.
Q&A
you're
time.
You're the one picking them.
Sure, but like... they're the ones asking. I'm just a conduit. You know a thing or two about that, huh? Joseph on YouTube leads us off. Any nagging injuries, Joe, that you fought through your during your Iron Man streak that some other players perhaps would have chosen to sit out a game or two to battle?
I always seem to have something by the end of the season. 2012, I think I tore my LCL the last game of the season, played the rest of the game, and then found out after the game when I got my MRI that I had a grade 2 tear and that I was going to be out 4 weeks had it not been the last game of the season. My left knee was actually kind of what caused me to retire. It was pretty bad my last few years where I think my last season I only practiced like 3 days because my knee was so bad. And my last 2 years I couldn't watch practice because I couldn't stand on it. So I would just lay in the training room. And how I got in shape for games is that I started swimming. And so that's how I tried to maintain some level of fitness. And I had a hip that was bad. And actually I'm getting my hip replaced on Monday. So, you know.
What? Breaking news on Wilde and Tausch.
There we go. Yeah. So, you know, when you play offensive line for more than 10,000 straight plays, you're going to have some wear and tear, you know? It's like eventually you got to replace the belts in your car, because if you're going to run it down the highway for 200,000 miles and never change the oil, you're going to have some issues.
Wow. A new hip?
Yeah, baby. I can't wait. You're going to be sprinting down these hallways next time I'm here.
So we should not ask you to fill in for Tausch next week if he ends up needing
an extra day. Well, I may be on some happy meds at that point to deal with the pain, so I might be a little bit extra goofy.
Remote setup could be digi only. We could be onto something there. Another one from Walter on YouTube. If Joe can't say Cleveland, did he have a preferred spot or two he would have loved to land in the draft? I'm assuming he's not asking, like, being the number one overall pick. I'm thinking he means, like, cities or teams you would have wanted to play for.
Yeah, so Oakland was one, Detroit was two, Cleveland was three, and I'm probably the only guy in NFL history that was hoping to go to either Detroit or Cleveland when he got drafted, because I knew that there was really good fishing, because both of them were by Lake Erie.
Oh, man.
And I was like, you know, a Midwest boy, like, I feel like as a lineman getting drafted in the top five, not all the fan base gets too excited about that usually, but I'm like, you know what, in the Midwest, in Detroit or Cleveland, like, they're gonna appreciate some good O-line play. So if it wasn't Cleveland, I was hoping it would be Detroit.
You would have had to fall pretty far, because, oh well, you could have gone second to Detroit.
Yeah,
obviously
Detroit was two, yep.
After that though, Tampa, Arizona, Washington, Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes. Could have been some good fishing there.
Never liked the Vikings, though. That was a problem.
Atlanta, Miami?
No, I was really afraid of getting drafted somewhere hot, to be honest, because I always really had a hard time dealing with the heat in games and training camp, and I was like, oh, crap. If Cleveland doesn't take me and I go to, like, Arizona or Miami or Tampa, I was like, oh, boy, this is going to be bad, because I always had a hard time keeping weight on anyway, and like, I would lose 10 or 12 pounds in a practice, and back then we'd do two-a-days, so I'd lose 10 pounds in the morning on a hot day. I would get a couple bags of IV fluid, and I'd eat lunch, and then we'd go back out there in the afternoon. I'd lose like another 12 pounds, and it just wears you down physically and mentally to lose that much weight every single day and have to give yourself an IV, or I didn't give myself an IV. They gave me an IV. To get back
putting
up
it in yourself,
just to be able to go practice the next day. And I talked to Jake Long. He was first overall pick the year after me to Miami, another Midwest kid that, you know, playing down there in the hot weather. I'm like, dude, how did you do it? He's like, every single day I got an IV in the morning and I got an IV in the afternoon or the evening. And he's like, that's just all you could do. And I'm like, oh man. He's like, it sucked.
Well,
a lot better up in the north.
I can tell you from experience, Tausch and I have the same problem with trying to keep weight on. It's so frustrating. I just can't tell you how difficult that is. All right,
I know a solution. It's the Hall of Fame donut shop I'm going to open up.
Yeah, or I just want to get some of the beef sticks.
Oh, we'll leave some around. I got the jalapeno cheddar right here. We'll leave a pack.
He never comes
here. But you're never here, so I'll mail some to your house.
I knew I could count on
your
you.
Your number's right, still 911? Okay, great.
You can also count on ESPN Wisconsin on opening day. Get those tailgate grills out and grab your groceries. Opening day in Milwaukee is almost here. It is Monday. It is Tausch's return, and it's the unofficial start to summer with the Brewers home opener. And ESPN Wisconsin will be all over it. Sponsored by Carbless ready-to-drink cocktails. We'll have live shows from inside the ballpark, special guests all day, and an unmatched excitement for the crew as ESPN Wisconsin will carry every pitch of the home opener. Opening day on ESPN Wisconsin is sponsored by Carbless. So grab a pack today and be the MVP of your tailgate. More questions for Joe Thomas next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. I'm not afraid of getting older. I will escape from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder. I'm one less day from dying young.
Let's get to a few more questions for Joe before we bid him adieu. Jesse, what do you have from the Carbless Talkin' text line?
This is more here. This one is from Dave in Aaron, one of the first questions in for Joe today. What's it like being on a team where the GM doesn't take you out to pasture when you get old? I believe that is a comment on Brian Gutekunst, who doesn't like players over 30 years old on the Green Bay Packers.
Joe, how old were you for your final season?
I thought that was a Hall of Fame beef cattle pun there for a second. I had to read it a couple times. My last season in Cleveland, I think I was 34.
Oh, you'd have been long gone here.
Yeah, but I mean, my knee was really bad. Like I mentioned, I think I practiced three times my last season. Tore my tricep in week like 7, but I didn't think my knee was going to last the whole year. And so I was like, I'm done. There's no way I can play another season mentally or physically. I can't go through this. Every week I was getting my knee drained, getting an injection. Like it was, I couldn't walk. I was walking down the stairs backwards or on my butt. It was just miserable being like that. But still, at the end of the season, the owners and the head coach and GM brought me into the office to have a meeting to like beg me to come back. And I wanted to tell them, like, guys, this is bad money if you spend it on me right now. There is no way that I'm going to be able to play another season. I just don't have it anymore. Like, I wish I could. Like, mind is willing, but the body is not. And they still wanted me back. But I just didn't think that I could have ever put myself out there where I couldn't maintain my standard of excellence that I had and just go out there and collect a check. So maybe if it was Gutekunst, he would have got rid of me way before then, but who knows?
Last one on the text line comes from our buddy Jeff in Monroe, home of the Cheesemakers. Mm-hmm. Was Joe a Packers fan growing up? And with all other things being the same, would that have been his top place to play?
I was a big Packers fan growing up. That was one of the other family traditions, coming home after church on Sunday. You know, back then the Packer games were always at noon. So we go to the earlier service, come home. Mom would make chili. She always made Packer chili, which was like a black chili. She got some recipe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel back in the day. And that's what we always had, with some crackers and some cheddar cheese. And then we'd sit in the couch and watch the old dial TV where you'd like push it in with the plug. Jesse knows nothing about that. And we watched the Packers. It was great. And I wish I was hoping they would draft me, but I think that draft they were pretty far back, and there was
16.
Yeah, and at the time they still had Chad Clifton as a left tackle, I think, and so it wasn't really at that time a conversation if they would come up and ever pick me. So I didn't really have those dreams. They died quickly.
Well, you're certainly a Hall of Famer and a first-round draft choice when it comes to Cousin Subs of the Day, but you will be sidelined from that opportunity for a little while with your new hip. Although, don't they, like, get you up and moving?
Yeah,
like,
right away.
Right after you have the surgery?
Yeah, immediately. So a lot of NFL players, obviously, even young guys, like, in their 40s, like I am, get the hips done. So I've talked to them, and all of them have been like, oh, it's the best thing ever. Like, I was 100% back in 6 weeks. Like, it was so easy. I was moving around, doing everything. I wish I would have done it sooner. So I'm hoping that that's my story and I'm not like the outlier, like on the other end of things.
Wow. Well, we wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
We thank you for your service today, because I don't know what we would have done. It would have been another show with me and Jesse, and we can't have that.
That would have been tough.
And as the many folks that love to eat at Mission Barbecue know, maybe. We have we appreciate their service much more than the stupidity that we do here of talking sports on the radio. Joe, I will catch up with you down the road. We'll let you get out of here a little bit early. But thanks a lot, man. It's been great to catch up with you, and give our best to Annie and all the kiddos, too, because it takes a village to put up with a Joe Thomas.
There's no doubt about that. I always have an amazing time. So thanks again from the bottom of my heart for offering me the opportunity to work for Jesse for one more day. I hope I get to come back again and do it, because it's always a highlight of my week. So thanks, guys. It's been fun.
All right, that is Joe Thomas. We will be joined by another guest for our Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. Sandy Morales, the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Dane County, joins us next to help talk about the big draft that's going on over the next month in conjunction with the NFL draft in Green Bay. She joins us next to wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
If they're not better this year,
because we're on Wisconsin sports,
there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Born and raised under the rain and a western wind, felt the weight, try to live up to the say I am. Is it any wonder shame comes calling my first name? Is there any question if I'm the one he left to blame? It's the same fight all over again. It's the same night breaking on my skin. It's the same night when you let me in. Let
time to wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints, and we do so with a special guest as we welcome in the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Dane County, Sandy Morales. Sandy, good morning. How are you today? This is my white flag in the wind. Every word you speak. Jesse, do we have Sandy?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Hi, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good, good, good. Good to be here. Thank you. How are you?
We are so happy to have you, and Big Brothers Big Sisters has always been something that has been near and dear to my heart. Help us understand what you've got going on in conjunction with the NFL draft being here in Green Bay and you being in Dane County with Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yes, so we are drafting the next generation of mentors. So Big Brothers Big Sisters of Dane County, along with about 14 affiliates throughout the state, are trying to recruit 700 volunteers to our communities. And here in Dane County alone, we're trying to recruit 100 mentors to be matched with kids in our community who are looking for someone to be in their corner, to spend time with, do fun activities, go out and get to know the community, and especially for our volunteer mentors to be a kid again. So it's an exciting time for us, and we're really excited about having these volunteers come in and really spend time with our kids that have been waiting for a mentor.
So if and so I did this in my mid to late 20s when I was in Madison. Now I'm in dad mode, not big brother mode. But look, the fact of the matter is that not every kid is lucky enough to have me as their dad. No, is in a position where they need that mentorship. They need that. So if we have a lot of people who love our show, and I'm guessing there are some that want to have an opportunity to make a difference, and this is such a rewarding pursuit. So if someone is listening now that wants to become a big brother or a big sister, help them understand what they need to do to get the ball rolling on that.
So to become a big in our program, we do offer very flexible options. You can actually volunteer with another person. So we have big couples. We also have big families. So so families can actually volunteer to mentor a child. So you can, you know, if you're already going to, you know, the park, or if you're going to go to the movies, you're going to go get ice cream, just, you know, bringing someone else along for that experience is great. And it's especially good for families as a way to give back to the community, welcoming someone else into, you know, the family to that extent. But it really is an opportunity to create those experiences for kids that perhaps they wouldn't have otherwise. And to sign up to become a volunteer, you go to our website. You can either fill out an application or fill out an inquiry form, and that's how you get started. And volunteers, interested volunteers, can connect with somebody at our agency that could give you more information. We ask volunteers to volunteer for a year as a way to really build that meaningful relationship with someone in our community. And we go through training. There is an interview process as well. And we do offer, we do also do background checks and reference checks, because again, we're talking about kids in our community and we want to keep them safe and we want to make sure these relationships are safe above all. So parents really trust us as the go-to source to find that special mentor for their child. And again, for the volunteer, we also want to make sure it's meaningful for them to spend time with someone that they can actually connect with.
Well, the big families part I didn't know about, so that is a conversation Paula and I and the girls will have to have. All right, before we let you go, and again, the website is BBBS, that's three B's, smadison.org, to find out more about Big Brothers Big Sisters of Dane County. I see you have some events, and you've already had Lego night, you had a guest bartender night, vinyl night at the Delta Beer Lab is next on the calendar. If you can't be a mentor right now, how else can you support the cause?
If you cannot support the cause as a volunteer mentor, it does take resources, financial resources, to go out and recruit volunteers, to enroll them in the process. Again, ensuring that we're making safe relationships and that we're supporting those relationships. That's one of the things that makes us unique. Our match support specialists are the ones that are checking in with parent, little, big, to make sure everything's going okay. We host over 30 events each year for our bigs and littles to participate. So those financial resources are very critical to ensure that we are making close to 200 new relationships each year, on top of supporting another 300 to 400 relationships that are already thriving and growing. So to do that, you know, donations are very, very important. If people have tickets, unused tickets that they're not going to use for any sports, theater games, we also love those donations because it gives our matches an opportunity to go out and have those fun experiences as well.
Sandy, we appreciate your time. We're excited for the big draft, and we're glad we were able to catch up with you and find out about the program. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Sandy Morales. She is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Dane County, and their big draft is our Feel Good Friday for this week. That's it for us today. Thanks again to Sandy and to Joe Thomas, and thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.